All right, we're back here at Pizza House on Church Street in Ann Arbor with another version of the Red Berenson Show, and we're glad that all of you people showed up today. And we're going to step aside right now and welcome to the show number 14, Tyler Mott, who has been playing outstanding hockey for Michigan his 3 years. But how you doing, Tyler?
What? Yeah?
Can you hear us okay?
Hello?
Doesn't sound like it, does it? I don't think we're connected fully. But we can tell you that Tyler and JT, and since they've been on the team, they had 2 years of disappointments in the Big Ten Championship. I mean, you think about it. They were playing against Penn State as a number 3 seed, and Penn State scores in double overtime after on a funny bounce right from the faceoff. But it was, and then last year was even more crushing to get to the championship game and not be able to capture that. But boy, these guys really, really came to play this year with intensity, and they're really making the grade, making the difference. Jeff Weinstein joins us now, and Jeff, we're going to get back to Tyler in a moment. But your thoughts on the season in general? I mean, you're closest to the team as anybody, and what kinds of things that you'd like to note on a stellar season so far?
Well, I mean, one thing that Coach always talks about is the big question going into the year was how would you replace the 3 forwards that they lost in Kopp, Larkin, and Hyman. That was our top line last year, and that question was quickly answered it took some time to sort out. The team performed very well in the first few months, but really answered in the last few months with the way the top line and the balance to all the lines. I mean, you look at the team, nine players with 10 goals or more, that hasn't happened in many, many years at Michigan, and it just speaks to the talent this team has.
Well, it certainly does. What I like is the attitude. They never say die. I mean, how many, I don't have it in front of me, but how many third period comebacks did Michigan have this year? I mean, third period is hands down the best period all year. It shows that Michigan gets stronger and makes other teams look weak.
Yeah, I think a lot of those comebacks came, I mean, it really started in October, the fourth game of the year, down 2 goals at Union. The team came right back. Selman scored a big goal in the last minute. I mean, at Ohio State, down 3-0 early, got a tie in that game. Wisconsin down early, also earned a tie. Ohio State at home. I mean, I think what that does, it builds a reservoir of confidence that, you know, in-game adversity doesn't seem to affect this team that much at all.
Yeah, like Minnesota, this team sitting in the locker room 3-2 going, oh, all right, we got them right where we want them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly what we said in the locker room, but I imagine that, like we were talking about earlier, that it was not something they hadn't faced before earlier in the year.
Now you're extremely busy right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, he's just not another good face for radio. He actually does a lot of behind the scenes work. He supplies us with 90% of the stuff that we say on the air. Well, 85 anyway. But I mean, he's constantly on this thing, and I don't know if you've ever seen somebody watch a game and text about it at the same time. Now me, I'd have to look at the keys, see, because I type like this, but you just sit like this.
You manage to call a game and tweet at the same time. That's pretty impressive. I couldn't do that. It's pretty good.
Every once in a while. But, okay, so your responsibilities change from home and away. How?
Well, at home, you're taking care of all your media that are in the press box, and if there's anything that comes up, just from a logistical standpoint or functional standpoint, then I'm there to handle it. On the road, it's mainly just you're the one marketing publicist guy on the road with the team, so you're basically pushing out what's going on social media and making sure that everybody knows what's going on and who's following our team. So.
Jeff Weinstein joins us. He's the sports information director, but he does so much more than that. And you're at practice every day, correct?
Yeah, today was an interesting day. We had certainly felt it today. I try and give the guys a break on a Monday as far as media goes. Today we had a lot of media starting in the morning. Zach was on a radio station did an interview with Matt Shepard, and we had about six people out after practice. AP is doing a nice story on Coach Berenson and the team, and Detroit News is doing a piece on Tyler Mott, and Ann Arbor News was there, and Michigan Daily is always there. I see Justin Meyer. He's always at practice. He's here at the Red Show. So everybody was doing their due diligence today. It's going to be a busy week, and then Friday finally be able to just focus on hockey.
Of course, living where I live, not being able to share in the excitement on Sunday when the announcement came that, and I guess everybody knew pretty much who we're going to play and where we're going to play, but to hear it, I mean, that really puts the energy through the room, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, no, it's exciting for the guys. I mean, the whole team got back, as you know. We got back around 3 in the morning, and then to get up at 11 or so for the 12 o'clock show, there were some tired players, tired staff in that room. But and hockey's different than basketball. Hockey, you can almost predict not only who's going to be, you always know who's going to be in, but you can predict where they're going to go. And most of the prognosticators picked the field exactly, got the locations and the teams that were playing, right? So Michigan had an inclination that they were playing Notre Dame. They knew they were going to be playing, or people who were following the program knew they were going to be playing in Cincinnati. But it's still really exciting, and I know it was really exciting for particularly the three seniors that last played Notre Dame at their freshman year and are looking definitely forward to playing them again now.
Yeah, the last time they met was at the Joe Louis Arena in the championship game where Michigan made quite a run that year. I mean, they won like 12 or 13 games in a row to get where they were and just, you know, maybe a goal away and fell just a little bit short.
Yeah, no, I remember watching that game. I was with another team at that time, but we actually had that game on in the team bus on the way home from our conference tournament, and it was a heck of a hockey game. It's interesting to hear the seniors now talk about how it was a defensive, hard defensive Notre Dame team, because I vividly remember that watching that game. And Michigan made a strong push in the third period after Notre Dame had scored, but just came up a little short.
All right. Hey, can you join us later and we go over the brackets?
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
All right, because I can't remember all that stuff anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of hard.
I used to be able to, but, you know.
Yeah.
Tyler Mott's going to be up next here on the Red Berenson Show. We've got reconnected with him. But first, let's pause for these words on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. All right. Now, on the line here on the Red Berenson Show from Pete's House in Ann Arbor, we have our junior forward, number 14, Tyler Mott. Can you hear me now, Tyler? Are they? Is he there?
Not there.
He's not there.
I don't have.
Now, for some reason, we have disconnected with Tyler Mott again. That's unfortunate because I wanted to get his thoughts on his first 2 years and not being in an NCAA tournament. That's what I want to talk to him about, and how exciting it is to know that you're going to play for a national championship. I mean, that excites me. And you know, it was, you know, I talked to Billy Traynor, you know, Andrew Merrick and a few other guys. You know, back then, maybe we got spoiled. Maybe we were so good, we weren't worried about if we were going to be in the NCAA tournament. The team was wondering which region were they going to stick us in, you know. And then for the last several years, the team had not made the tournament, so the excitement has got to be running crazy in that locker room just to get down there and get this thing going. I know the team is going to bus out after practice on Wednesday. They'll go down there and they'll get down in Cincinnati quite late, but they'll have a full day of tune-ups the next day, and they'll have practice. And I guess they're going to be practicing for those of you that are going down there at 3:15, I believe, 3:15 on Thursday, the day before the tournament starts. Correct?
Well, the team is 3:15, 4:15, and then got a little media on Thursday, and then we meet, have an administrative meeting, and then it's on to preparing for Notre Dame.
Okay. Now, a little bit about Notre Dame. Notre Dame has is similar to Michigan in this way, that they have a small senior class, okay, that they have good goaltending. Their goaltender is right on par with Steve Racine. So you're going to see maybe a stingy game, maybe a one-goal game, probably a one-goal game. and the save percentages and Cal Peterson is their goalie. The save percentages and everything are just about the same between he. So it's going to be a pitching duel, if you know what I mean. And remember, Notre Dame was 3 points out of first place in Hockey East, which is a very tough conference. And they were just right behind Providence and Boston College, right?
Yeah, no, it's interesting looking at Notre Dame. I saw one of their games earlier this year. They played Denver, and the thing that stuck out to me, it was an overtime game. Both teams had close to 50 shots, which is, if you followed Michigan this year, you're familiar with Michigan's played in several games quite like that. And their goalie was the reason why it was a low-scoring game. Denver, I think, was out shooting them something like 56 to 40, and Cal Pearson was fantastic. So I think watching Notre Dame, the first thing that does stand out is their goalie. They haven't played as well of late. They lost to Northeastern in a series, Hockey East series. They had a bye before that series, and they did not play last weekend, which means they really haven't played a lot at all in the last three weeks coming into this game. So that's certainly a factor, something to look at. But like you said, they were a very strong team in one of the best conferences in college hockey. And any team that's in the tournament this time of year is a very difficult team. And I'm sure Michigan will not take them lightly.
Stay right there. Is Tyler back with us?
I'm here, Al.
Oh, how you doing, bud?
I'm good.
Okay.
How are you?
Good. Tyler Bond, number 14. And Tyler, congratulations, you and your teammates, on a great championship for the Big Ten.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
I got a question for you. You've had a couple of disappointing ends of seasons, and now you win a Big Ten championship and you get to play in the dance. And what's the excitement level like?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable feeling. Obviously, the last two seasons weren't quite the ending we were looking for, but we're excited to bring a trophy back to Yost, and we're excited to head into the tournament next weekend.
It seems with those disappointments back-to-back years that the upperclassmen on this team have been on a mission since day one to get to where you are right now.
Yeah, I think our leadership's been a huge key to our success overall this season, definitely in the tournament last weekend.
Talk about, first of all, your line mate and captain, JT Compher, and what he means to this team.
Yeah, I think he's a great guy, leads by example all over the ice, on and off the ice, and really kind of sets the tone for us as a team with his work ethic, the way he plays the game all over the ice. I think he's really a guy that we're going to lean on here this upcoming weekend.
And you may be one of those guys they lean on as well because, as Billy Traynor has said dozens of times on the air, that you're a 200-foot player, that we just brought up the point. You might have had two goals in the last game, but you also had six block shots. And I remember you coming off the ice one time, and you looked at me, and I said, congratulations. And you said, how many block shots did I get?
Yeah, I take pride just as much in the block shots as I do the offensive production there. So that's maybe the stat I look at a little bit more. But anything I can do to help this team win, especially come playoff time, I'm going to try and do it.
Okay, now your seniors, they have been had an incredible year. I mean, Coach Berenson always says that he likes his seniors to have their best year as a senior, and they certainly are. Let's talk about your goaltender, Steve Racine.
Yeah, he's been great for us. Ever since he kind of took over the job here, he's been great. He's given us an opportunity to win every game. And that's really what we expect for him. He's made some timely saves as well, which is huge for our confidence and for his confidence here. And we're going to need him here coming this weekend.
Booney Evis.
He's unbelievable. He's really taken his game to the next level the last couple of months. His speed is something I think we all notice. And his leadership, face-off winning ability is something that we're going to need come the tournament here. But I think his leadership and the way he's grown on and off the ice is what I've noticed the last couple of seasons.
And, of course, Sells, he brings everything to the table, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a great guy, great energy guy. He'll block shots, kill penalties. He'll get to the dirty areas, and that's kind of the type of hockey we're going to need to play here in the playoffs, and he's one of the guys that will lead the way.
Tyler, I know you're busy with your studies and everything else, and I want to thank you for this year. I mean, I've had a lot of fun broadcasting your games this year. Best of luck, and I will see you in Cincinnati.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Tyler Mott, number 14, and, of course, a 200-foot player, consummate. Okay, one more break. We're going to return with a couple of people. First of all, Bill Traynor up next, right here on the Red Berenson Show. You stay tuned here on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. All right, we're headed towards the alumni portion of the program, where we always bring on a Michigan hockey alum, and this one happens to be very close to me, and I hope he's on the line right now, and I'm talking about my partner, Bill Traynor. Bill, are you there?
Partner.
Well, I'm glad that you had a chance to get on the Red Show tonight. Coach Berenson is standing by as well, and we just want to thank you for the great service that you've given to this program over the last eight seasons.
Bill, this is Coach here. Like, the one thing we appreciate from you has been the fact that you not only did the color and you took your time and traveled with the team, but you had such a good insight into college hockey, into the individual players on our team, what it takes, our team. You know, you were a team player. You understand how teams have to play together and play the right way and so on. So I'm still learning about hockey when I listen to Bill Traynor do the color in the games. It's good stuff. So I hope our fans have listened, because he's been no more than a color broadcaster. He's been a teacher. So good for you. So, Bill, can you tell us how much more money you're going to make in this new job to take away from this job? It must be a good opportunity. No, you got a whole bunch of people listening.
Wouldn't that be great,
here.
Right?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? But
first of all, Coach, I appreciate the comments. It's quite an honor coming from you. And I want to thank you and the program for allowing me that opportunity to still be a part of the program and to be able to travel with the team. I've enjoyed every single second of it, and I'm truly sad that it's, I wouldn't say it's coming to an end, but I won't be able to, the time constraints I have now, I don't have as much flexibility with my new career opportunity, but I wanted the opportunity to I thank my family and everything, but I wanted the opportunity to also thank the listeners and the Michigan hockey fan base in general. I was remiss when I didn't say that after the game on Saturday. But I just I've received a lot of nice tweets, a lot of nice comments over the years, a lot of support, a lot of nice letters. Ms. Dexter up in Kalkaska is one of our loyal listeners, and received a real nice letter from her the other week. And so I wanted just the opportunity to thank everybody. And I don't want to dwell on myself too much, because it's not about me, but I just wanted that opportunity to thank the support and the kind words that I've received, and hopefully it's not the end for me. Hopefully, next year I'll still be around the rink and be able to cover a couple of games here and there.
Well, Bill, the one thing that this time of year brings out our alumni, particularly the guys that played on championship teams. And so just talking to you on the phone reminds me, like this afternoon, Brendan Morrison called, Bobby Gassoff called, David Harlock called, and so on. All these guys that are, when I talked to Brendan, he said, oh yeah, I've talked to Sloney and Shock and Botterill and on, like the whole class. They're all watching and tweeting back and forth, and they're into it. So no matter how far you go, you're not going to get far enough to get away from the program.
You never do. In fact, after the game on Saturday, I received numerous texts, group texts from my old teammates, and everybody's fired up. Well, Gold Blues going back and forth, and I got a text from Bobby Gassoff today, asking me who was the player that dove headfirst into the trying to block the shot against Minnesota on Saturday.
That was Alex Kyle.
Yeah, and that's what I told
Alex
him.
Kyle, this time of year. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But even the 2-on-1, how a defenseman might slide, do a backslide to take away the pass, and Cutler Martin was on that 2-on-1 late in the game, tied game, and he dove at the guy. I mean, literally dove all over the puck so the guy couldn't make a pass. I mean, that's desperation hockey, and that brings out the best and maybe the worst, but in our case, the best of our team.
Yeah, that's what you got, as you mentioned, Coach, you need this time of the year. And, you know, listen, we've seen this over the years. It's not always the best team that wins this time of year. It's the team that's playing its best. And there's not too many teams in this country that I think are playing the complete game that Michigan's been playing ever since the Ohio State weekend, perhaps a blessing in disguise and an opportunity to kind of reset and recalibrate and find out, you know, we've got to play a certain way at this time of year if we want to advance. And I think everybody seems to be on that same page.
Yeah, and we're in a short practice week now. We're trying to put the Big Ten behind us, and we're focusing on one game. And we've got one game to worry about, and that's the Friday game against Notre Dame. You played your whole career against Notre Dame, so you know what they were like, and they're probably not a lot different. We haven't seen them in the last 3 years, so this will be the first time, but we've seen them on tape. They've had a real good year in the Hockey East, and there's going to be more talk about Notre Dame as the week goes on, but nevertheless, we know we're going to be up against a good opponent, so we're preparing hard for that team, and we'll get our team ready to play. So, Bill, again, we want to thank you. You're not going away. We'll be seeing you. But thanks for what you've done for the program, and we'll look forward to talking to you after the season.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate the kind words, and good luck to your team, the program, and I'll certainly be watching and supporting and yelling Go Blue.
And don't forget, I've got that number 22 puck in the radio equipment.
Don't you lose that, buddy.
No, I'm not going to lose it. We use it for markers and scrambles.
Al, on another note here, we're... you know, you've heard us talk about playing Dickie Moore hockey, and I think our team is having fun with it, but they can relate to it. Well, wouldn't you know it? It came out on the NHL wire today that today was the anniversary when Dickie Moore broke the NHL scoring record. And this is in March 22nd, 1959. That's the year I got married, and. It's a couple of years ago, but anyway, Dickie was with Montreal. He got 95 points. He ended up breaking Gordie Howe's scoring record, and he had 41 goals and 55 assists. And he said after the game, and this is an important thing for our players to listen to, he said, well, I couldn't have done it without my teammates. It's a team effort. And that's the kind of guy Dickie Moore was, and that's how we're kind of we're trying to emulate Dickie Moore hockey. He was a clutch player in the playoffs, big-time player. So we've got a Dickie Moore jersey now, a 1955 replica Montreal Canadian jersey with his number and name on the back. We gave it to our first recipient was Schuert, Max Schuert, on the Friday game, and Max and Sam Piazza on the Saturday game. So there's the first two recipients ever of the Dickie Moore Award for Michigan hockey. So there you have a little bit of tribute.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. I'll be talking to you. And
okay,
we'll be right
Coach.
Back with... We'll be back with the final segment after this on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. All right, we're back with Coach Berenson on the Red Berenson Show. And, Coach, I think that this is the toughest region of them all. You have a team that's one loss in 22 games in Northeastern. You have North Dakota that won their region, and they have one loss in the last 10. And, of course, Notre Dame that's stingy, and they'll play really tough.
Well, these are four really good teams, Al. And, you know, like they say every year when you come to tournament time, any team could win it all, especially in a small field. Like, we don't have 64 teams, and we have 16 teams. And there's some good teams that got knocked out, like Mel Pearson. We've talked to him, and Mel's team got knocked out by Ferris. And Ferris State's in there. Well, we saw Ferris here. They're going to be a tough team in the playoff time. They're that kind of a team. And so I wouldn't count anybody out, but we can't worry about that. All we can worry about is our game and our team. We can't control North Dakota or Northeastern. I mean, we have a lot of respect for those programs, and the same thing with Notre Dame. But this is a fun time of year. This is where you put it all on the ice, and it's great for the fans. It's the best time of the year for the players. And I've told our players before the game in Minnesota, I said, I wish I were playing this game instead of coaching. And I meant it. You know, I really wish that I could have a chance to do this again. But our guys are fired up, and they're going to be ready on Friday, and we'll have a good game.
Coach, thanks for another year of the Red Berenson Show.
Well, I guess we're done, Al.
Yep.
So that's just the way it goes around here. But hopefully our team's not done.
No, they're not done. They're just starting. All right. Thanks, you all. We'll see you next year on the Red Berenson Show. I was going to ask Billy, are you going to watch it on TV or listen to the radio? But I forgot. All right. We'll see you again here on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network.